Good Wednesday. Today is July the 3rd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, there's a lot of work being done right now to improve wheat yields. The Great Lakes Regional Wheat Yield Enhancement Network is being managed by Dennis Pennington up at Michigan State University. We're going to visit today with Dennis, learn more about the work that's being done and how it coordinates with other growers. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm visiting today with Dennis Pennington. Dennis is the Wheat Extension Specialist at Michigan State University Extension. Dennis, appreciate you coming down today. We want to talk about wheat as far as a Great Lakes Region Yield Enhancement Network, maybe something a lot of folks haven't heard about, but a lot of neat upside that it can bring to the table. First of all, I guess, tell us a little bit about the Yield Enhancement Network and sort of where did it get started?
Yeah, so the Yield Enhancement Network got started in England about 10 years ago. And what it is it's a group of farmers that have got together with some agronomists and crop physiologists to say, what can we do to improve the wheat yields that we're getting on our farms? And they put together this program that has kind of three facets to it. First, there's a yield contest, and the goal behind that yield contest is to encourage farms to try some new practice on their farm, to try to push those yields a little bit higher, so whatever they try whatever they want to. The second component is a bunch of data is collected from those farms each year. We collate that data and then report that back to every participant. So each participant for about 80 different data points can see what the range in values were from all of the other yen participants in there. So it's a very detailed report that allows them to gain a lot of insight into what happened to their wheat crop for that year. And then the third component is a networking opportunity. And it's the goal is farmers teaching farmers about how to grow better wheat, because everybody's trying different things on their farm. And this provides them a mechanism in a way that they can share their ideas. And one person might be hearing about boron, and maybe I should be putting boron on. And there's three other guys that have tried three different ways of putting it on. So they're able to get together and talk and learn from each other about what's the best way. So that's in a nutshell what the YEN program is and then kind of how it works.
Geographically, how big a region does this encompass?
So we started out the Great Lakes region. We intended it to be Great Lakes states, including Ontario. It's grown to be a little bit bigger than that. Now we have participants in, I think, seven states in the U.S. In Canada, we've got just over 200 participants altogether, split about half and half in the U.S. and Canada. And so this 2004 crop, this will be our fourth year.
Okay.
So but at the end of this year, we'll have somewhere around 500 data points from 500 like years of or farms worth of data over the last 4 years.
It's a great information being generated, and it's nice it's got that regional or local feel. Is the same thing happening in other parts of the country or other parts of the globe?
Yeah, so this started in England, as I mentioned, and so they started this about 10 years ago, and we picked up on it about 5 or 6 years ago, and so we got our program started, and they gave us a bunch of help and guidance and advice. As far as other locations, there are more and more of these, or interest in starting these, kind of scattered across the globe, including Europe, Netherlands, Denmark, Australia, Manitoba. So they're starting to pop up in different places across the globe. And when we were in England last week, that was one of the things we talked about is as we get these people and expertise with wheat from across the globe, let's have a time when we can get together and share ideas and what we see and what we learn from each other.
Good stuff. Again, my guest today is Dennis Pennington. He's the Wheat Extension Specialist at Michigan State University. We've been talking about the Great Lakes Region Yield Enhancement Network. Dennis, thanks so much for your time and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, talk a little bit of farm safety with the hot weather that we've had different times this summer and coming back in again. If you're working outside in severe heat, there's some tips you may want to keep in mind so you can stay safe. USDA's Gary Crawford has more of the story.
We are only a few days into this summer season, and the country is already suffering a massive heat wave with temperatures more like August than June. Deadly temperatures. Many people who work outdoors a lot are being laid low by the heat. They're not used to it. It's come on so suddenly. Some have even died from heat stress and heat stroke. And so, to reduce the chances of succumbing to the heat,
basically what we'd like to do is acclimate ourselves to the work environment.
Ohio State University Health and Safety Professor Dee Jepson.
You can't just go out and work a full day the very first day in the heat. You kind of have to let your body build up to that.
Especially if we are not seasoned outdoor workers and just deciding on day one to brave the severe heat and get all of those jobs done around the place, not a good idea, as demonstrated by the statistics.
When we look at outdoor workers in general, half of the deaths that happen to workers will happen on their very first day of the job. And 70% of any of the heat-related deaths occur within the worker's first week of the job.
So to use the technical term, take it easy in the heat. Just do a little work at a time out there and be kind to yourself with
rest, water, and shade.
And plenty of all three, especially water. Dee Jepson says drink at least one cup of water every 20 minutes.
A lot of times people think, I don't drink that often, or I don't want to drink that much. I'll be sick. If you're really out working in this heat and out in the elements, every 20 minutes, drink a cup of water. You'll feel much better.
Also, wear the lightest, loosest fitting, light-colored clothes that you can get away with. And finally, here's one more clothing suggestion.
Throw away that beloved ball cap. It is not the best work hat.
Instead, she says wear hats with at least a 3-inch brim all the way around them.
They block the UV exposure from your face, the top of your ears, the back of your necks. That is 80% of our skin cancer comes from that part of our bodies. So that tells us that we're not wearing the correct headwear to protect from the UV exposure.
Finally, Dee says even if you follow her advice to the letter, the heat could still start to get to you. So be sure to pay attention to how you're feeling and thinking. Symptoms of heat problems can include
fatigue or dizziness, even irritability, impaired judgment, any type of lack of ability to concentrate.
If you notice any of those symptoms, Dee Jepson says get out of the heat, get cooled down, and get medical help. This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.